What's on your mind, Susie? You was just telling me that things are going well. Anything in particular you'd like to share today?
Jean or Teresa, you guys have anything you wanted to talk about specifically?
Nothing specific. Just
Rob, I think
we're sticking on track.
We're still so busy, and we're kind of tired of saying, "Oh my gosh, we're so busy," and we don't tell our clients that.
Right.
But it's exhausting, and that's not even the 150 or so that we're going to get rid of. We've kind of ignored them. I hate to say that, but we're so laser focused on our top clients that we're just so busy.
Can you get rid of the 150 quick here?
We can. We just went through a change with Raymond, but again, they're not the problem, right, ladies? I mean, are we doing much for them, if anything?
Not too much.
No, nothing to any significance where it takes time. I think the problem we have is like where they were expecting a meeting or something, and you know, their expectation was something that, how do we like handle that?
Yeah, we haven't even addressed it, is what I'm saying.
Right.
We've ignored it.
Kind of, yeah. Like,
was that Bobby was going to be contacting them quarterly or whatever the number was, and now it's nothing. So a lot of those I've talked to and said, hey, Bobby's no longer with the team, therefore we don't have a fourth person. We're not going to be able to reach out to quarterly. We'll do annual reviews, but that's about it. And we haven't even gotten to that really. They were all fine. But I only bring that up because I don't think that's why we're busy. I think those 150 are not causing our busyness. It's the services we provide to our existing clients and all the work we do. So I think at some point it's going to need to even be less of a number.
How many do you have now, Sue?
100.
Yeah, you need about 70.
That's a tough one. But yeah, I could see that. Or we need another person on the team.
Right. 70, after 2 years of doing Supernova, the average person ends up with 70 clients.
I could
not totally because they can't do more. It's because they don't want to do more.
Mm-mm, exactly.
They just say, you know what? I understand Supernova completely. I'm doing it. I love it, but I'm going to have 70 clients and I'm going to, you know, if they're taking, here's the other thing. Don't decrease your service, raise your prices.
How do you do that? How do you raise?
You simply figure out who is expensive, who's taking time beyond what they should.
But how do you say that to them?
How do you say it? You say it. You tell them.
How? Can you give me some examples? I've never done this in my life.
Well, you can do it a couple different ways. You can charge for a consulting fee for doing ongoing planning for them above and beyond the fee that you charge for transactions. Right now you're using transactions to pay. So it's kind of like, you know, with the old Bloomberg days, Lewis, do you remember this? And you probably still do it, right? You pay for the Bloomberg with transactions and then figured out that, I don't know if they're still doing that or they now pay for regular, just write a check, right? So in this case, you're paying for your consulting fee and your time and your financial planning with transactions. So you can raise your transaction fees. I mean, in terms of, you know, go to 1.25% or 1% or whatever, you know, you need, or you can charge $25,000 for financial planning and consulting fees above and beyond. If you're doing a lot of planning and you're not getting paid for it, then you should charge for that.
Yeah, I think I do. And I think that would be it, is that my planning fees are increasing because I'm at almost all of my assets are managed trail based. You know what I mean? I don't trade. So I think it would be that my planning fees are increasing. Maybe it's even, and I'm just thinking that I'm reducing the number of clients I have so I can spend more time, right, with my top clients. I don't know, something along those lines, maybe. So I don't know. I need to think about it.
What's your minimum fee now?
$5,000. And that's really not my minimum. It's really like 12.5.
Right. See, I'm consulting with a guy and he's kind of educating me a little bit on pricing. He's an independent, and he charges $20,000 minimum fee.
Mine really should be higher.
And he's not a big producer. And he that's above and beyond whatever he charges for, management fee for the portfolio.
So 12.5 on 2 million
is 20 grand a year.
Yeah. 12.5 on 2 million is like 62 to 63 basis points. That's low. My average ROA used to be 67. It's up to 71 right now. I've been trying to get my ROA up. So I've worked on that and I've gotten it up there. So that's why I say 12.5 is even low. I'm not going to go with 12.5 if somebody comes in with 2 million. You know, I'm not going to go 62 basis points, I should say, at 2 million. Now, if they have 4 or 5 million, maybe. But for 2 million, I'm not going to go as low as that. So my lowest fee is probably closer to 15, 20, 20,000.
Yeah, so that's part of what, you know, as you produce more and you generate more, you annually, you should always raise your fees.
Yeah.
You know, raise your minimums because actually just the math says your fee has gone up.
Yeah, I've never looked at it like that. So that's good. Thank you.
You just take your production and divide it by the number of clients. And see, that's
you want to know why I said my minimum's 5? I literally just got off of a call with a client who, Jerry Gibson.
Yeah.
He almost left me. He's old. He's 84. And I think he's having a little bit of issues and all of a sudden fees are a thing. We took him off of fees over a year ago. I didn't know what to do with him. Finally, I said, you have to at least pay $5,000 to remain my client. So that's why in my mind, and he was like, so Sue, that $5,000, I paid you closer to $6,000 because the portfolio is up. And I was like, Jerry, his daughter's laughing in the background. I'm like, I'm sorry, Sue. I'm sorry. She's been here at the money. She goes, Dad, I need her. I need her. You might not, but I do when you're gone. So pay her the damn fees. That's what she was saying in the background. So that's why in my mind, I was like, $5,000 my minimum. That is not my minimum. It's only my minimum to Jerry. Okay.
one client.
And I would fire him, but his daughter knows and she's willing and that's that. He's one of those exceptions.
Right.
And then my ex-partner, right, Trace? This just
Right.
He's paying 25 basis points. And
those are the worst.
The worst, Rob.
They're the worst.
Both ex-FAs, my ex-branch manager, my ex-partner, totally want to nickel and dime me on fees. Like, you know what value we add. What are you doing? I'm like, he hired us. He hired all of us. Why does he want to nickel and dime us? He wants to go from 25 down to 17. I was like, I'm not willing to do that. Lewis is like, are you willing to lose the account? I said, yeah. I know he's my ex-partner, but I'm not doing it.
How big is the account? Can I?
$4.5 million.
$4.5 million? That is ridiculous. He should be paying 70 basis points.
At least 65. At least 50. Come on.
Right. You guys are too nice.
So I did email him. He has not responded, which is very unlike him. He probably was not expecting me to give a little pushback.
So here's the deal. You say, okay, I'm transitioning to a hedge fund. I'm going to charge you 2% plus 20% of the profit next year. That means that'd be $250,000 I'm charging you. Is that okay? No?
Just go to Fidelity, Randy. Just go to Fidelity.
Think about it, right?
Oh, I know.
They own hedge funds, some of these.
He knows, of all people. He knows. We helped create this business. Him and I together. So anyway, that was my rant for the day. This was good, though. I like the whole think about raising prices. It's planning fees that I should have a minimum in fees, not just a minimum account value.
Right. So Gwen, you go back and look at those 100 clients and say, okay, who shouldn't be here? Okay. Who's not paying me $20,000? And how much will I miss them?
Yeah.
Right? Jinx, you're gonna make somebody else really happy.
One thing I'll say that we have done well, and I thought of this because one of the clients that comes to mind is Jenks, and we haven't been able to get in touch with his kids. But what we've done, I think, in this last year really well, thanks to you ladies, is setting up those meetings with the kids that I'm going to keep those accounts. I'm working with these kids more than I ever have. And maybe that's what's taking time too. I didn't think of that because they're part of the household. Mm-hmm. But that money's going to be sticky now. And some of these kids are making good money. So I'm happy about that. We're going to need another person on the team. Cause I think I just answered our question. Why are we so busy spending a lot of time with the kids now? But we've garnered some good relationships.
Well, and you're very smart because, as a human being, I've had these experiences, right? Where people pay a lot of attention to me and no attention to the kids. And, you know, I just insist that they get 4-1, not 12-4-2, but 4-1, four calls a year, one in person. And you know what? Zoom is fine.
Yep. That's what we're doing.
Zoom's changing the world of productivity. So we don't have to travel anymore.
Right.
They don't need to come in and meet you. Now, when the world is back to normal, maybe it'd be nice to have them for lunch or something, mm-hmm. but that's up to you. The reality is if you can do a financial plan for the kids and take care of them, then when mom and dad aren't there, they consider you then their financial advisor. Otherwise, you're dad's financial advisor.
Right.
And that's not good.
No, we do not want that.
That is not good when dad's not there. Then it's right. Like, I'm going to go get my own. I'm independent, you know, and then they get screwed and dad's not happy. And
yep.
You know, so for the sake of them and the person you care about, you give them the time. But then again, you say to yourself, are they one of my top 70 clients? You know, is that a client that we really should be holding on to?
Right.
And you'll go down to 70, Sue, you won't even notice it.
Right.
Still be busy. Okay. But you'll be, I think, a little more intentional. You know, anytime that your day is not intentional, you know, it's not a good day.
Yep.
Right?
For sure. A lot of my Tuesdays through Thursdays are that way. But no, I think that does answer it, is we're spending more time with the kids. That's what's gotten us.
Reassign, raise your minimums. So how did the year end up for you guys?
We were in the green.
I mean, revenues
went up,
assets
went up, but assets probably went up more so due to the market.
I had you at around 273.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up now. I think my number now is, it was 285, I believe. Let me see. 298.
Great.
But again, a lot of that is, so where I'm at, Rob, the majority of my clients are 70 and up. So they're taking income. So yep. I'm negative NNA all the time, which I brought up, just so you know, Lewis, in a meeting with Scott Curtis on the Women's Advisory Council, that none of us are thrilled with the numbers game, that it's all about NNA. Yeah, of course we want to grow and do better, but our focus is doing the best and doing everything we can for our clients. So if we can increase ROA by doing that and solidifying those relationships and not constantly looking for new money, that's not going to be our focus. And we kind of view it as the old boys club, that of course we want to grow, but we're going to grow holistically. We're going to grow with the family. We're going to grow with keeping the kids. We're going to grow with doing life insurance and annuities and all these other things that make us grow. And my NNA is negative every month because of outgoing income payments to clients. That's just where I'm at. I don't think we should all be put in a bubble. I am on my soapbox right now and viewed as one kind of business. I do really good business. We have amazing clients. We do the right thing all the time and it's sticky. I barely ever have clients leave unless I want them to leave, right? Mm-hmm. So the NNA to me is unfair.
Well, you always get back at them by raising your revenues.
So I did increase my ROA, which I'm happy about, as I mentioned. My ROA went from 67 basis points. We're up to 71 now, I think. I'll tell you in a minute.
So on 300, 7 times 3 is 21. Did so you finished around 2.1?
No, that'll be this year. Should be closer to that.
Okay. I had 1.7 before.
The previous year I was about 1.8.
And what was this year? 21. I mean 20. 1.8?
Yeah, no. Last year when I say previous year, I was at 1.8.
Okay. All right. Well, one thing that I would push back on your argument is if you're doing such a good job, you should be overwhelmed by introductions.
Good point. So tell me who those introductions might be. If they're over 70, they're not working, they're just with their families. Who am I getting introductions to? It's a very different.
How old am I?
I don't know.
74.
Okay. You're still working, right?
I'm working harder, you know, my
networking, you know, a lot of people.
My buddy who's 74 is still the island doctor who works 5 days a week, 4 days a week. We just played golf together. He shot 75. I shot 79. We're not old. Okay.
Nice. Yeah. No, it's what's your lifestyle?
I biked at 6 o'clock this morning. 20 miles, okay? So 74 is not old.
Right.
And 74 has abundance. And all we have to do is have fun, and it's like being back in high school. All you care about is your friends and your family.
Yeah.
Okay? And you have a chance to network and meet all kinds of people. And you got a chance to brag about your financial advisor. And they should be bragging about you.
Okay.
Okay. So you're not off the hook.
No. How do I address that?
You ask for introductions. There's no easy way to do it, but if I ask, you would not be offended if I said, okay, so next time when we get together, what I'd like you to do is get together with Lewis and brainstorm about who would be a good fit for this kind of coaching.
Yeah, true.
Right?
Yeah.
You'd be like, yeah.
Because I believe in it.
Right. You believe in it. It's helped you.
Right.
Right? I mean, it's helped you a lot. I mean, one of the things is you can do a survey, just do a simple survey and say, you know, this has been a good year. What I'd like to do is ask you a couple of questions and tell me the three most important things that you feel that you've benefited from in our relationship. What are the three things that have been the most important in terms of your service experience and overall experience this year? Okay. And what that does is get them on your side of the table telling you how great you are.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second part is, and I'm really serious about this, what I'd like to do is ask you, what are a couple things that you'd like to see us do that would improve that experience? Taking a legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of it, you say, you know, what I'd love to do is next month, I'd like you to think about this. I'd like to do some brainstorming about who would value this as much as you have. Who would be a good fit for us? You know the kind of client that we're interested in. And you know, not everybody's getting this level of service. They're not all delighted by their financial advisor. So I'd be, you know, if with your permission, I'd just love to do some brainstorming. And they go, sure, okay. So you give them a month to get to think about it. Mm-hmm. By the time they're talked the next time, you know, you go through your normal agenda, and at the end, you get brainstorming right on the agenda. And you go, okay, let's do it. Remember I talked about doing that brainstorming? You were talked about what you really loved about what we're doing for you. We talked about brainstorming, and they go, yeah, oh yeah, I've got a guy for you. Now the key is not to get the name.
Right.
Everybody gets the name.
Have them introduce you, right?
Right. You want a Zoom introduction is the greatest thing in the world. And you simply say, okay, so what do we do? Let's do a Zoom introduction. Well, how would that work? Well, I'll just, you give me the person's address or phone number and email address, and I'll send an email invitation under your name for a Zoom introduction. And then we'll get on and you introduce me. And then politely excuse yourself. And then I will, we'll get a chance to talk to each other and get to know each other. And you'd be like, oh, okay. Now you're going to have to kind of hand walk them through some of this because they're not that familiar. But if you're training people on Zoom, then they'd be fine. You can do it that, or you can do a conference call the exact same way. But the Zoom introduction is so much better because you get.
Yeah, I like the Zoom. You see them, they see me.
Right.
Yeah.
See, at my stage, all we have is our social life, our kids, and very few of us there's some, right, involved in business. Mm-hmm. But most people at 74 are now, you know, have made the kind of final step to pure retirement. But right. That doesn't mean that they're dead. They're still out there playing and having fun and meeting people and sharing ideas. I always ask people, what do you think of the stock market? Because I'm always looking. I'm always interested.
Yeah.
You know, what are they thinking? And it's an interesting conversation. It's always an interesting
conversation. I bet.
Yeah.
Everybody has an opinion.
Right. And if your clients are in wealthy communities, I mean, people have made a lot of money. You know, somebody that's worth $10 million is worth $20 million. Somebody that's worth $40 million is worth $80
million. Right.
And they're the same person. They don't change. They don't go and buy a private jet or anything.
Right.
They still just keep their money. So anyway,
this is good.
Yeah. It's you're never going to get introductions. It's your job. You're the salesperson. You must be asking. You never get an order without asking for the order. So all you're doing is just asking for the order. That's our job. That's not their job. And they don't even know that you are open for business.
Right. Yeah,
right?
I get that.
They think you're so busy. So you don't want to tell people you want to be busy, but not complain about being busy.
Right.
Okay. Because then they won't, you know, it's like I used to say guys, I'd walk into their office like Lewis and they'd be like, ah, you know, I'm so busy. I'm going crazy. And I go, God, that's too bad. I had $1 million introduction for you, but I guess you're too busy. They go, you did not. I said, no, I didn't, but you shouldn't put out that aura.
Yeah.
Otherwise I'll skip over you. We don't always just have fun, do we, Lewis?
That's right. I like to tell them, oh, I had somebody wanted to retire and give you their $100 million book, but never mind then. If you're that busy, never mind.
Right. It's true, right? And that's happening more than you know.
Yeah.
Or it should be, anyway. We should, those guys should be retiring.
Yes.
Well, and they are. I mean, in the end, they are. I mean, that's one of my biggest businesses is helping teams
transition,
assimilate new practices. You know, it's a nightmare. And, I mean, they do fine, but then I get them to be good at it. And then I have them internally market themselves as the place to go. Well, just think about it. If somebody came to you, as a person that never did 1242 and has a nice book of $100 million, And they assimilated that into your practice. How happy would they be?
Gosh, anybody walking into this right now, I think would be happy. They'd get rid of those 150 accounts.
Right.
So, ladies, how do you think it's working with the 1242?
I think it's working well. I mean, we're getting contacts with them every month and they like it.
Yeah,
yeah, they really do,
aren't they?
Yeah,
but that's why we have those topics and stuff, so it's not just a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
How are we doing with executive summaries? Are we doing them?
No.
Okay, so that should be your model for the new year for 2021. Is we're going to do an executive summary for every call. So it helps in a whole myriad of ways. And you got to believe me because I wouldn't tell you to do something that didn't work. So the agenda worked. The calls 1242 worked. The executive summary is probably as powerful as any of those, maybe more powerful. Because what it does is it eliminates from a compliance point of view, it eliminates the I say you say, which is the, you know, wait a minute, I never gave you that order, right?
So just for some reason, I thought it was more formal, but they're taking detailed notes on what the client, is that what you mean?
I'm saying you send them an executive summary of what went on.
And sending it back to the client. I got it. Okay.
Just bullet.
Yeah.
So it's just whatever you're going to do, whatever they're going to do, and what you agreed to do.
Yeah.
On the call. So one of the things it will do is when you're doing financial planning, you put on there what their responsibility is and by when.
Right.
You will get them to do things that will take you months to get them to do normally. Okay. You could take them 6 months to meet with an estate planning attorney and get some will drawn up. And if you put it on there every
years.
Month, that it's their responsibility, they will get it. The fact that you're there supposed to be doing that by this, and you put a date on there, what, by when?
Yeah, I actually like that. So like after my quarterly or semi-annual annual review with the client, I think for you ladies that are calling them to say, okay, we know that Jerry and Sue were going to go talk to the attorney about setting up their estate plan. When we call them, we need to check in and say, where are they at in this process? We know you spoke with Sue last month about setting up, getting in touch with the attorney. Have you done that yet? Do you need help with anything? Do you need some documentation to take with you? Yeah, I do like that.
We're kind of doing that already. I mean,
yeah, there's no formalness to it. At
yeah,
all.
We're not. Yeah.
Every day it's like, okay, who are you calling? What are we going to talk about? Anything we should talk about? And then I have to think about, oh, who? What did I do with them? I don't remember. So if it's all a process, we don't have to think about it.
Mm-hmm. Sue, once you get into practice of it, I know some teams that do that, and they love it. Like they'll send, you know, either an email or a letter just says, hey, you know, just a follow-up you were going to get with your 401k to make sure you review your beneficiaries and see they're updated since some changes per stirpes, per capita, you know, because, you know, we did that here at Raymond James. We want to make sure you follow up with your 401k.
Yeah.
Those types of things are powerful. I mean, it's really nice to keep something. Like you say, it gives you something to talk about on these follow-up calls, too.
And it holds them accountable. And if they know we're all working together, if they're bringing it up after I talk with them. Yeah, there are a ton of good reasons for it. It's, and then they don't honestly change. Where it falls through the crack is me entering all my notes. That's where it falls through, is when do I have the time to enter all of it?
Okay, so you have an hour for each call.
Uh-huh.
Limit your call.
I do.
And then you
got to have an hour before and an hour after, but it doesn't always work out that way.
All right, so one of the rituals that you have to force yourself to do is when you get off the call, you write, you type up the executive summary and send it to Teresa, send it to Jean, send it to whoever, and then they send it off. They can edit it and send it off.
Yeah, that's true. I do. I put notes in the account. I eventually get to it, send the client the agenda that we discussed, but I don't go into full detail.
And it doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be huge. Just, it has to be done. That's all.
Right. Okay.
Can
be bulleted. I am saving them to the account, but I'm not sending it all to the client. I do send them an agenda of what we discussed, but it's not in a lot of detail. It's estate planning. The details in the notes, but I think maybe if it's more of estate planning, you're going to contact the attorney and set up.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
Okay. Roles and responsibilities and dates to get them done, and you'll get twice as much done.
Yeah.
And then if you, you know, if we bought an annuity, you put it in there.
Yes.
Put $100,000 into an annuity.
Yeah.
Put $100,000 into this money manager.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. And then it's, then he remembers or she remembers, because like you said, your clients are 84.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, think of the lawsuit, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, think, I never said that. I never agreed. She did all these transactions and she never called me. Wait a minute. It's in there. Agenda, execution. Agenda, execution.
True.
Eliminates, it isn't that you're going to get, not going to get sued. You know, I always tell people you're going to get sued. The question is, are you going to win? Any lawyer in your firm will tell you that you would be the perfect client if you do this. They will never win because there's no case.
Yeah. Yeah. Sending the client more of those notes, that makes total sense instead of just putting them in the account.
Okay, so that can tighten things up, and they will be so delighted because they don't have to take notes and they don't have to remember.
Right.
You see, that's the key. You're making it easier for elderly people to do business with you. Then when you ask for the introduction, they'll be like, yes, of course, I will give you one.
I used to do it. When Randy was here, that's what I did. I sent a synopsis of our meetings to every client, and then we just got so busy. I have not. Some of them still ask for it. Hey, can you send me that detailed report like you used to? And I'm like, you know what? I'll send you an agenda of what we talked about. And I know I should. I have to. I just have to find the time. I do.
And don't make it big. And don't make it long. Just make it whatever it was that you know, just a reminder. This is what we did.
Yep.
Okay. So don't get into an epistle. You're not going to be graded on this.
Right. It's a funny word. All right. Well, you gave us a lot of good stuff.
All right.
Thanks, Rob.
And Lewis, I was just looking at your folder from our coaching session. I kept it.
What a Lewis mess, has a huh?
Lewis has a lot of work to do.
We had a lot of fun. He was right here. He was in this room.
Ah.
Yeah, right here. Remember the bookcase, right?
I stayed at your guest house there, and
Wow.
It was a lot of fun. We spent the day together. It was great fun. I'll never forget. Anyway. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.